Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Today on Happy Sad Confused, Allison Williams chases the perfection with her new Netflix film. Hey guys, I'm Josh Horowitz. Welcome to another edition of Happy Sad Confused. Yet another familiar voice returning to Happy Sad Confused this week. Last time we had Nicholas Holt on, he joined the Three Timers Club. Now it's Allison Williams' turn to join that rarefied air of Happy Sad Confused. Her new film is The Perfection. It's on Netflix May 24th. And another film, I mean, this is only her second feature, which is kind of crazy to say. Her last film was, of course, Get Out, which was a hell of a debut, to say the least, and was provocative and surprising and thrilling. And all of those adjectives, I think, could be used to describe The Perfection, which, again, the less said, the better. But suffice it to say, stars Allison as a cellist, a very accomplished cellist, who has an unusual rivalry, friendship, interesting, provocative relationship with another cellist. Things go to some odd places. Steven Weber stars as a teacher of sorts who may or may not be the greatest teacher in the world. Could I be more vague? Probably not. But look, it's in your Netflix queue. It's free if you have Netflix. It's directed by Richard Shepard, who did a lot of great Girls episodes and also has directed some great features. The Matador, highly underrated. Check it out. And it stars the likes of Allison Williams. So what more do you want? Check it out. May 24th, The Perfection. Highly recommended. Allison is always a delight to talk to. She is... I don't know. She just makes me laugh. She's just fun and smart and keeps me on my toes. And if nothing else, you will learn of her odd predilections and habits in going to see feature films in the theater. It's not what you expect. Is she high maintenance? I don't know. Maybe that's one word for it. But she's always amusing to talk to and listen to. So I think you guys will enjoy this one. Hope you guys are enjoying all that summer has to offer you so far, especially, on TV and in theaters right now. There's an embarrassment of riches, whether it's obviously things like The Perfection on Netflix or Game of Thrones on HBO, but then tons at the theater. Obviously, Avengers Endgame still out there, but things like John Wick Chapter 3, Aladdin coming out. There's, the summer months are always fun for me. Just, I grew up with blockbusters, and to see all these big things come out, I'm rooting for all of them. I've seen a lot of these. Anyway, I'll be at the movies seeing them all, and I assume you guys will too. If you listen to this podcast, you probably enjoy all of it. Hope you guys enjoyed this conversation with Allison. Remember to review, rate, and subscribe to Happy, Sad, Confused. Spread the good word. And please enjoy this this conversation with returning champion, Allison Williams. Yeah, Allison Williams.
Hi.
Oh my God, I didn't see you there.
I snuck in. I appeared from behind your desk.
Yeah, that's a little creepy, actually.
So sorry.
Welcome to the Three Timers Club on Happy Sad Confused.
I'm so honored.
SNL talks five timers.
Whatever.
Bullshit.
I love my jacket, by the way. Thank you so much.
Oh, good. I'm glad.
Yeah, it's so fancy. It's much fancier. All the Swarovski. I'm really blown away.
And you like the velvet leather combo.
Into it. It's a little late in the season, as we just discussed, for leather, but I'm very into it.
So much to discuss, as always. For those that thought she got the fucked up weird movies out of her system, fear not.
No, don't worry.
Fear not.
I have a type.
We're sensing a trend developing, folks. We're going to talk a little The Perfection on Netflix soon, as much as we can. We were just saying, another trend for you is doing movies you can't talk about, really.
Yet again, I have made a movie where if you describe the plot without spoilers, it's fine.
Yeah.
But definitely bears no resemblance to the movie itself once it kicks off.
Yeah. Yeah, it's. I mean, so we are starting to see, like, you know, these are the movies that capture your dark, weird heart.
Yes.
You're just like weird heart of darkness. Soul. Your heart of darkness. Are you surprised that, like, because we've talked before about, like, how picky you were about the first film.
Yes.
And you couldn't have done better in terms of picking a debut. And this, you know, again, you've done some TV in the interim, but, like, is this the second feature?
This is my second movie, yeah.
So,
yeah, I'm surprised. It's surprising to me. And I almost don't pay attention to, this is going to sound very strange, but I don't really worry about the genre until much later in my decision process, because initially I'm just reading a script. Yeah. And in a script like Get Out and The Perfection, I was taking notes in the margin to see if I was going to be right predicting what was happening. And in both cases, I was like completely wrong. And that's intriguing to me. And then, of course, if the character is interesting, awesome. You know, that's the most important thing. And so with The Perfection, I was so intrigued by this person and I just felt like I had to play her. And then later when I was describing it to the people in my life and I was sort of trying to tell them what the plot was, I was like, oh, actually, I think I've done this again. I think I'm playing someone who you're really not going to know what to make of for most of the movie. And I'm in a movie, the plot of which I can't really describe to you. So I'm so sorry.
So no need to apologize. Is the material you're getting like similar in some ways, or are you getting Nancy Meyers scripts as well? Because
I haven't gotten a Nancy Meyers script in a long time, but I do get the full gamut. I'm very lucky. I get all kinds of stuff. And it just happens that the scripts that are most interesting that seem to get into the most sort of interesting subject matter and the characters that are weirdest, all of that, I don't know, those things seem to coalesce into this genre, at least have twice. I don't have the biggest, you know,
sample size
yet. But yeah, I mean, it's twice in a row that has been the thing where I've thought, I have to play this person.
It helps that this comes from Richard Shepard.
Yes.
Who you've worked with a bunch of
Girls. Yes, I worked with for years on Girls. He's so talented.
Very talented. And I remember him even prior to Girls. Like, I loved his feature work. Like, The Matador was always, I think, a really underrated film.
I love The Matador.
Really good movie.
And I love his sensibility. He has a very quirky tone, and he's sort of daring you to figure out how to feel about any given scene, which I love. There's a ton of ambiguity, even just tonally, which takes guts on the part of a director because he knows what he's trying to do, but sometimes he deliberately makes things sort of choose your own adventure in terms of how you feel about a given moment. And it also depends on who you're watching with and in what context.
And this is very much a film that's like all about perspective, right?
Exactly.
In terms of whose story are you watching? You're kind of like falling, you know, I found myself falling into like, okay, I get this. And then it's like, it subverts everything.
Yes. A couple times. Yeah. Who do you trust? Who don't you trust? What is happening? What's the objective reality here?
Yes.
Where am I in time? You know, the usual
basics.
Yeah.
Okay, so to set it up a little bit, you play a young woman who's a prodigy.
Mm-hmm. A cello. She's a cellist.
A cellist. And who finds themselves at Shanghai. Is that where you guys are in the beginning?
Exactly.
Judging and meeting another young woman who you have a rivalry, interesting kind of relationship.
Yes, well, so I left the academy and stopped playing cello to take care of my mom, who was sick. Yeah. And then when I left, this other girl came in, Lizzie, who's played by Logan Browning, who's amazing. And she sort of became the me when I left. And so we have a very complicated dynamic, to put it mildly, when I show up and we are the guest judges at this competition.
Right. Did you shoot in Shanghai?
We shot in Shanghai for a couple days, and
That's
then we
cool.
shot Vancouver.
You for
other,
it well.
Other days. None of that was my responsibility, but I think they did a really good job.
Yeah. The unpleasant bus scenes, I would imagine that's not Shanghai. That's you're back in
Vancouver.
Yes,
spoiler, at some point we get on a bus and it's unpleasant. I'm sure that'll shock the world.
That's even in the trailer though.
Yeah.
Yes,
that was Vancouver.
That's traumatic. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. There's much more pooping and vomiting in this film than I was expecting.
You know, I'm going to have that audio clipped and just wonder if that will be able to be said about everything I ever make.
Well, I said the same thing about Peter Pan.
That's true. But all of that was off camera. That was just stuff I told you about that was happening backstage. Because I'm actually thinking, it is potentially going to become a recurring thing.
Everyone needs a thing.
That's my thing. It's scatological. Yes, that is a thing that happens in the movie.
What's your gag reflex? What's your scatological thing that will always make you?
My gag reflex has nothing to do with bodily functions in that way. It has to do with a very specific thing, which is like a compound fracture. If someone breaks a bone and the bone comes out of the skin,
that really will get me.
That'll get me every time.
I'm trying to think of feature films that have had that moment.
A lot of like war movies or explosion movies what was that movie with Pierce Brosnan where there's a volcano, Mount St. Helens?
Oh yeah, yeah, Dante's Peak.
Yes, Dante's Peak.
Not volcano, the other volcano.
Yeah, exactly. Dante's Peak. Right. I remember that when I was little being like, ugh, I don't know if I'm going to survive this.
Yeah. There were no episodes, as I recall, of girls where there bone must have been vomiting. Out.
Lena had a pretty strict no poop rule.
She was anti poop.
She's anti poop. She doesn't poop. Luckily, none of the girls did.
Well, that's a celebrity.
There was a lot of peeing.
A lot of people don't know that when you become a celebrity of a certain stature, they sew you up, so there's no poop that comes out.
And you don't eat anyway, so like there's no waste being produced.
I'm so sorry that we went down this
tangent. It's all good.
But to be fair, this is all off of the film.
It's true. It's all off the film.
I'm just feeding off of what you provide.
Thank you so much. And I'm giving you a wide buffet of things to talk about. But yes, I mean, I think out of context, this must seem insane. But it seems insane in context until it starts to seem a little bit less insane.
The shorthand, I'm going to be curious to see how people like what the shorthand is in describing the
film. I know.
Because it's like, you could say there's a little Whiplash, there's a little David Lynch, there's a little, I don't even know what. So when Richard sends you the script, is there a preamble? Is there a context? Or is it just sort of, read this, tell me what you think?
He just said, this is nuts, read it, tell me what you think. I've been picturing you for Charlotte. And so I thought, okay, great. And it was a hard copy. It felt so secret. Like they didn't send me a digital copy. I got a hard copy messengered. And so I read it and it was indeed nuts. And I saw the potential in it. And I also just thought Charlotte was fascinating. And said, yeah. And then he was talking about, you know, Old Boy and Handmaid. Like he was talking about a lot of sort of Korean cinema. And yes, also those, any of those movies where the moral center is ambiguous for a long time, where chaos sort of reigns. Very interesting.
When you think back to your childhood, was there, we all have those films that we're exposed to maybe like a couple years too early.
So many. Yeah.
So what were yours?
Well, there were a bunch. I had one friend who had older siblings, and so all that stuff happened at their house. Mm-hmm. And I remember seeing Varsity Blues when I was too young, and I came home, and I made two bowls of rice pudding, and my dad was out on the porch, and I brought him a bowl, and I sat there with a bowl for myself, and I admitted to him that I had seen Varsity Blues, and he clearly didn't know what to say because he had not seen it, and also didn't
like,
know
how warm should I be. Like, exactly. I need a little more context.
I need to know, what did you see that upset you? I also saw Forrest Gump a little bit too early. Uh-huh. That same house. I think I saw The Exorcist a little bit too early.
Yeah.
And then I saw it again later and it was funny. And the first time we watched it at a slumber party and we were all pretending that it was funny and then no one's left.
Exorcist is never funny.
It's just scary. When I saw it later in life, I watched it during the day because I was ready to be really scared. And then I was like, oh no, this is actually okay.
Yeah. To be fair, the first couple you mentioned aren't like, I wouldn't say like, you know, Requiem for a Dream is traumatic to see when you're 12.
No.
But Varsity Blues.
I also don't think you understand. Maybe you'll recall that I was only allowed to watch public television until I was 13.
Right.
So these things were shocks, like real shocks to the system. Like sex in general as an idea was just really alarming. And then to imagine where I've ended up and the kind of stuff I've ended up doing.
You're rebelling
is very
at 30.
Funny.
This is where
Exactly. This is where I'm really going to get my kicks in.
Fuck you, Dad.
Yeah,
I'm gonna
have sex
movies.
On girls for 6 years. Yeah, exactly. Good luck dealing with that. No, I mean, it is funny, like, given how innocent I was for so long, the stuff that I'm drawn to is decidedly uninnocent.
And there's a lot of new territory for you in this one, things you have not done before.
That's true. I'm sure you're alluding to the cello. That's a joke based on something else that he was definitely alluding to in the movie.
I don't know what you're talking about. I don't understand that. Let's cover the cello first.
Okay.
I bought it. I clearly you are an expert cellist.
I was at a time able to play the cello. For the movie.
Okay.
I mean, it was a very short term. I didn't have long to learn and I didn't learn it for very long.
Right.
If that makes any sense. Yeah. But I was able to hold
passively
a cello, play
look
it.
Like an actual.
Yes.
Well,
yeah.
Works.
And make, you know,
make sounds that didn't hurt the human ear.
No, yeah.
That's great.
And it was really hard. I have a lot of respect for cellists. It's incredibly hard. It hurts.
It looks super easy. I don't know what you're talking about.
That's the idea. It's supposed to look easy.
I'm joking. It does not look
it's
easy.
It's always looked so elegant and like graceful to me.
Yeah.
I couldn't figure out what was hard about it when I first started learning. And the answer is everything. You have to hold it a certain, it's hard to hold a cello properly. It's hard to hold the bow properly. It's hard to fret properly. That's not even the word. I don't know. I mean, it's just, it's complicated.
Were you a prodigy at anything as a, if I found 12-year-old Allison Williams, like, oh, she's way ahead of the curve on dot, dot.
Just talking, producing sound. I had so much to say. Actually, I wrote a lot. At 12, my parents got me a little word processor, and I was very prolific.
What
I
wrote
just a lot of short stories and very dramatic screenplays, and they all they would all reflect obviously whatever had been happening in my life at a time. And we recently found a treasure trove of them on floppy disks, which kids is precedes the CD, which precedes the thumb drive, which precedes the cloud. I realized as I was doing that that you weren't going to know what I was referring to until I got to the cloud. Anyway,
well, I'm 22, as you know, so I've lost.
Exactly. You're brand new. You're new here. And a lot of them, we went to Prince Edward Island in Canada for a vacation, and there was like a lot of fishing happening on that vacation. So for a couple months when I was, I don't know, 11, all my writing was from the point of view of a fisherman's son, which was sort of like, you know, the my character.
So wait, have you read some of this recently, you're saying?
Yes. Oh, yeah. We discovered them a couple years ago. It's hysterical. I mean, it's not a great work. It's not a good oeuvre of writing. Like, I wouldn't say I should probably publish all of it and win some kind of...
I'm sure a couple touch-ups that it's ready for production.
Yeah, more than a couple. It's a little all over the place, but it is very dialogue-heavy and very, very dramatic and directly reflects whatever was happening in my life.
Do you still write?
Not as much as I did. I should. Yeah. I love it. I just don't... I don't know why.
Okay, so things that we can hint around. There's some stunts and blood that you've certainly not done in this way.
Some romance, which I think is what you were alluding to.
I really wasn't.
Oh, you weren't.
I was going to say all three of these things.
Oh, okay.
Blood, stunts, romance.
Got it. Yes, romance. yes, there's blood, there's stunts, there's that, there's romance.
Well, you
there's
clearly
cello,
want to talk about it.
Well, no, because I think this is a hard thing. We're like walking the line between spoiling and not spoiling. So I just want to be careful. I mean, some of it is sort of in the trailer, but it's out of context.
What about stunt wise? Do you enjoy, you haven't
I
done
did
that
actually,
much.
I haven't done a ton, and, I liked it. I really enjoyed doing it. I realized that sort of the key is you're just going to sort of hurt yourself, but just knowing that you're going to do it, it makes it a stunt. I mean, there are huge skill sets for actual stunt people who know how to do all of these things that are trades that they learn, like actual skills.
Yeah.
But for the purposes of a movie like this, it's really just, you know, making it look as real as possible and just wrapping your mind around the fact that like you'll pull something, some muscle
it's
will feel weird at the end of the day. And
not
you're just
what
gonna
the
be okay.
body was supposed to be.
Yeah, exactly.
Doing.
And at some point I was supposed to headbutt someone, and there's a stunt way to headbutt someone. And then there's I played soccer for a really long time. Way of headbutting someone. And I did it that way. And they went with that way. But it apparently was very scary to the person on the receiving end, 'cause it wasn't, you know, the stunt headbutt.
You were method. You were like,
I was sort of coming very, very close to headbutting someone for real. I've never done. It would be a very weird experience.
This is how we know end every podcast. We're gonna just collide heads. I recently shot something that I also can't talk about, but I had a stunt.
Really?
I had a stunt, Allison.
What was it?
I can't. I really can't say.
Anything? Was it were you on land?
I was on
your
land.
Your stunt? Okay.
Yes. And I had a stunt double, and I'm so proud of myself, Allison. They did not end up using the stunt double.
Congratulations.
For me. I did it. They gave me little like pads on my knees. It was such a minimal thing.
No,
it
but
was,
you
like,
take all the pads. At first you say no, I don't need them.
Oh,
and
no,
then
I never
everyone
said no.
takes them. Okay.
I said,
well, maybe
give me
that's
more.
An active thing.
Give me a sumo suit. Like, just give me the whole thing.
That's where I am now. Give me pad this entire space and my whole body. Yeah. I mean it's you can really get hurt. I just filmed something that had a lot of stunts in it, and I still think I enjoy doing them.
This sounds like a horrible, not the bad in a bad way, but like a horrific kind of a thing. The plane
Horizon Line. Yeah.
What is going on?
I don't know. I guess I don't want people to be able to relax
ever
they watch something that I'm in.
I'm a little phobic about plane travel.
I am too. That's part of why I did it.
So let's tease this one. So this is about,
it's called Horizon Line. The basic premise is, imagine going to a wedding, where you know you're going to see your ex who you haven't talked to in a year. Mm-hmm. You guys hook up. It's a huge mistake. The next day you're both running late to the actual wedding, which is happening on a neighboring island in Mauritius. You hitch a ride with your friend and you both show up to the flight together. And so you're going to be in a really small space together the morning after.
Okay.
Then imagine the flight goes really, really, really bad, to put it very mildly.
So are you, is this like crazy gimbals, the whole thing? Like you're just like being rocked around for weeks at a time?
Yes.
Essentially?
Yes. Yeah. It was, but it was really cool. I learned so much. I mean, I learned a lot. I saw The Avengers last night and I was able to actually know how something like that in a small way, understand how something like that is achieved. But just from having, I'd never seen anything green screen before. So now I can at least understand the mechanics of it. But the actual, like how that movie gets made, I am decades from understanding.
Well, I think we all are. Yeah, I've seen that one a couple of times. I just talked to the directors yesterday. That like what they, I don't even, I, yeah. How did they do that? I don't know.
I can't wait to listen. Maybe they'll tell me.
There you go. So wait, so is this going to help your, what do you worry about when you're on a plane?
Oh, literally everything. Yeah. Also, it starts with the fact that an airplane ambient sound sounds like a movie where something bad is about to happen.
Yeah.
And which is the same with like, I don't like snorkeling or scuba diving because you can hear yourself breathe, which also sounds like something bad is about to happen in a movie. So that is sort of the beginning. From the minute I walk onto a plane, I'm like, this feels like a movie where something bad is going
to
happen.
It's interesting to say. I think it, a lot of fear is like kind of sound based because I'm like also like, you know, I grew up in the city here and I find sleeping somewhere where there's not ambient city noise.
Like city noise. Oh, interesting.
I need like that white noise as like some kind of instinctual comfort.
Yes.
If there's dead silence, I'm like...
Agreed. I'm a big white noise when traveling fan. Yeah. Because if it's too quiet, then I'm listening.
Yeah. I'm like, wait.
And I don't want my ears to be doing anything because they will find something to be scared of.
You've got overactive imaginations,
of course,
and I.
Of course. We've seen too many movies.
Yeah.
In every imaginable context where something goes wrong.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, it's just, it's inevitable. Something horrific will happen to us.
Of course. Our egos demand it.
I'll be the center of a horrible New York Post headline one day.
Exactly. Oh gosh. I hope not. No, I mean, I think that is part of what it is. It's the sound.
Yeah.
And then also just all not understanding it, having no control, although thank God I'm not actually in control of flying planes or whatever. Yeah. It's just, you know, it's the usual suite of things to be scared of.
I'm probably like on the early side of you doing press for this one, so I'm going to I'm going to get some of the stock questions out of the way. Did you have like a rival growing up? Did you have like a?
Oh, did I have a rival? No, and if I did, they didn't know we were rivals.
Again, overactive.
Like, yes, I was just like a nerd wishing to be cool, and all of the cool kids were my rivals. But no, I didn't really have like a. Didn't really.
Is there an actor now where you know like inevitably you're going to go
for the
same?
Wouldn't it be so funny if I just said yes and I just named their name? No, because I have such a weird lane.
Yeah.
That I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I could list all the people I think who look like me, but that's not. Right. Thank God, that's usually not all it's about. All it's about these days.
Have you had shitty, scary teachers in your life?
There's... Yes, not like our movie and not like, you know, a Whiplash level bad teacher. But I've had
a lot of Steven Weber for you guys in this one, by the way.
Yes, a lot of Steven Weber.
I
have had some scary teachers, some like really strict teachers. Mm-hmm. I just found out that one of my math teachers in middle school saw me, my mom just told me this story, saw me running at gym, which is when you're supposed to run, but I was wearing a tank top and she called my mom and said that she thought it was unseemly. I just heard that story because also apparently she keeps my old math tests in her desk so she can show her students. So I'm getting a lot
this
of mixed
is more
messages
of a her problem
from Mrs.
Than a
Adele.
You problem, with
I know.
All due respect.
I know. She did teach me something valuable, which is when you come inside, you should take your jacket off so you can acclimate.
Okay.
And she insisted on it.
Okay.
And we all just were cold in the class, but now as adults, we go outside and we can warm right up because jacket goes on.
I don't think you should be so forgiving to this woman who clearly...
Well, the other problem was that she was the origin of my chalkboard thing because she had long nails and she wrote it on a chalkboard and they would constantly screech on the chalkboard and I'd sit in math with my ears plugged because the sound made me nauseous. And so I didn't learn much.
Does
so the math tests can't
boards,
been...
Does the new generation deal with chalkboards? I just imagine it's all
no.
like 4D holograms
in the
classroom.
I think at very least they're whiteboards. At some places, when I was still in college, they were still phasing out chalkboards. But I think they're so
I get it. You're
beautiful.
Younger than me. Great. Congratulations.
What do you mean? They were probably phasing them out when you were there.
No.
Just an age brag, a mild age brag. I don't know, kids.
Kids these days. Kids. Were you? Wait, you went to Fantastic Fest for this one,
right? I did.
Who would have thunk that you would get to Fantastic Fest before me?
You've never been.
No.
Oh, it's. I mean, it's exactly what you're picturing. It's
I'm
so
sure.
many. The first person I interacted with was a demon upon walking into the festival. Yeah, I mean, it's, you like know, horns, like whole face mask prosthetic situation.
Was this your old teacher? Was this the one that
no,
was
doing? No, she wasn't there. No, it was just a demon who then we posed for pictures together and was
one does.
Sort of odd. It was a very strange experience. But yeah, lots of blood, lots of costumes. It was really fun.
You're gonna, you're quickly probably being, you're one of them, whether you knew it or not.
I know,
you're
it's be weird. Embraced. I should start thinking about this as part of my identity because I will continue to show up apparently very weird.
If all else goes to hell, you can work the weird convention circuit for 30 years. You know?
I'll become the demon who greets everyone at Fantastic Fest. I'll just be in deep hair and makeup so no one will know. But yeah, it was so much fun.
I'm sure. So last time you were here was talking Get Out.
Yes.
We couldn't really talk about it at the time, of course.
No, but now we can. Oh, that's
did,
so fun.
Did you go into, was there like a post Get Out, like, depression's probably a big word, but like it was so big.
It was so
big.
It
was everywhere. And then it's like, how do you follow that up? Like, you know, like it was it sort of, I don't know, what was the months after Get Out like for you?
Well, it was weird because when the awards stuff was over, which was really the actual end of the experience that was Get Out. It was a long, it was like over a year. Yeah. Which was great because we loved hanging out together so much and we loved talking about the movie and we're so proud of it. So the fact that we got to stretch it as long as we could was amazing. And then I was already in Vancouver shooting both The Perfection and A Series of Unfortunate Events, 7 days a week. Sort of I was shooting them at the same time. So I didn't really have time to have that post Get Out depression or whatever because I was working,
That's good.
Which was good.
Yeah.
But I miss them all so much. It was the greatest experience ever. And the great thing is that I get to still talk about it every once in a while. I'll be talking about, you know, I'll be talking to someone and they'll bring it up and then they want to talk about it and I will never be sick of it. So it's such a pleasure.
Was it odd to experience a Jordan Peele film without any, like, you didn't have any knowledge going in, I assume, of what you were going to experience?
Yes. I mean, what do you mean?
For the new one, sorry. For us.
Yeah. I haven't been able to see it yet.
I haven't seen us yet.
I know.
You want me to act it out for you? That's the way it should be done.
What do you mean? Act it out in person?
I'm joking.
I just got back from shooting this movie and I'm very picky about the way I see these movies.
I see.
My brother had the Avengers ticket, so that was the first movie I've seen in a theater since I wrapped.
Got it.
And Us is next, but I want to make sure I have my right seat. I'm not going to go into it. It's a little too type A for public consumption. So I have to be sort of definitely in the middle of a row, but the row itself also has to be in the middle of the theater. I have to have a reserved seat.
Right.
I have to be able to get there half an hour before it starts.
Wait. May I?
Yeah. Sure. Yes.
So that kind of defeats the purpose of the whole reserved seat thing. One of the best perks is you can get there like 2 minutes before.
No. I mean, how are we even talking about this? So first you get to the theater, I should put this in the first person, apparently not the second person. I get to my seat. I stake it out. If I'm alone, I keep all my things with me. If I'm with someone else, I dump them all into their lap and then go to the concession stand.
Okay, I got that.
Look at what they have, which is always the same, but you still need to remind yourself. I don't know. Are you in like a Raisinets thing? Are you feeling like a Skittles mood? Are you in a Sour Patch Kids, Sour Patch watermelons? Like, I don't know, Twizzler. So then you look at what they've got, and now they've got all kinds of weird, like, savory things, so that's a whole other thing to think about.
Did you ever used to go to the Lincoln Plaza Cinemas where they had bagels and lox available?
No, never, but I really should have. That's what I'm actually looking for when I go see a movie.
Because that's what you want, smoked
fish.
A nice,
fish, hearty, you know? Exactly. Then I go to the bathroom, get that over with, pee as much as I can, and it's too much detail.
Thank you. I'm gonna flag that one.
Okay. Go to the bathroom.
As much as you possibly can.
We were talking about this yesterday, like before a car ride with your parents, when they say, "Okay, go to the bathroom," you have to make sure they're laughing
really
so
concentrate.
Hard at me. And then you're like on the toilet, and you're like, "I think this is what they wanted me to do. It's just work as hard as I could to produce urine." Before we get in this car, is this too gross? Have I lost my mind?
I'm the one that brought up the poop.
Yes, you did. Okay, here. So then that's done, and I go back to the concession stand. I pick out what I want. I go into the theater, and then I like to watch all of the ads before the actual trailers because I find it fascinating what my people in my business are up to, and that's really where you get to see it, like the endorsements and like the weird little paid appearances.
Before the trailers, you're talking about?
Yes, exactly. I don't play the games. I'm not quite on that level yet.
You want to see the Maria Menounos hosting the 20, like that whole thing?
All of it. I just want to see it all. I find it interesting.
Yeah.
And it's good, you know, whatever. And so then I'm very chill and I get to like address everything in my phone.
Chill sounds like the word to describe this whole thing.
Then I'm chill. Yeah. If it all happens that way, I am chill. But if it doesn't, like I have never in my life had a good movie experience like rushing into the theater and sitting down. Like during trailers, I don't think that's ever happened in my life. Like right before trailers, right. No way I'm not going to be able to get into it. It takes me a minute.
I need to see all the trailers. That's half the battle. But I would also think, I don't know, I would guess, knowing what a psychopath you are, you would want like the exit row seat. Like you would want like access to an aisle that you don't want to be in the center.
That's no, because it's about the visual.
Yeah.
Then once I can be relaxed, which is what all that first part is about. Then I can actually just sit and enjoy the movie. I want you guys to know that my level sister and assistant are behind me just dying. They both have their heads in their hands.
What's the going rate for a therapy session? Because I'm going to need
It's on me. Whatever it is, it's on me.
No, I'm saying the other way. You pay me.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. I'm really working. I've already worked through all of this. Okay. This is where I am at the end of working through everything.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, imagine what it was like before. Anyway, so then if you're in the middle of the theater, you have the best visual experience, especially with 3D. But even just for us, I just want to see exactly every single thing Jordan was doing because I know better than to think from the back corner of a theater you can actually get.
This is fair. Okay.
Not with Jordan.
I will not be seeing a movie with you ever.
If you do, I will already be there and I'll be relaxed and you will just know what happened before.
Again, relaxed is the wrong word.
I was so chill. Ask anyone in the Avengers showing last night at 7:50 in Union Square. I was there obviously at 7:20, just ready.
You befriended presumably one of my favorite people in the last year, Benedict Cumberbatch.
I tried. Yes.
I'm sure you got along famously.
Of course. I really loved working with him. He's amazing. Human being. He's truly actually a perfect human being. It's infuriating that they made one because now the rest of us know that like, oh, that's striving. Possible.
Yeah.
It's better to be able to tell yourself that that's not possible. But yes, I did.
What's the overriding memory of Patrick Melrose for you? What's the takeaway from an experience like that?
It was really fun. So a friend of mine was the producer on it and she emailed me and said, would you be able to come to the UK to shoot a bad date with Benedict Cumberbatch in the 80s? And I was like, in what context? And she was like, it's based on these incredible novels. Yeah. And I said, okay, let me take a look. And I just was absolutely obsessed with all of it. And I was like, of course, I will be in a 10th of a page of a scene. This would be so much fun. And so that's what I remember is like the experience of being on a bad date with Benedict Cumberbatch in the 80s. So I had my big hair, my shoulder pads, and you know, the Cumberbatchness.
How good is he in like his 3 minutes of screen time in Avengers, by the way? Like he's like perfect. That good that he can actually be great in
literally any context.
Yeah.
If he did all of the videos before the trailer started, you would come to the movies as early.
He should take Maria Menounos.
He should take all of their jobs, and then you would come to the movies before as well.
I would.
Just to see his work, just to see how great a person can be. But yes, he was like, he's just unbelievable. And I watched him. It was a really complicated thing to shoot because he was going back and forth in time.
Yeah.
I know it's a Doctor Strange thing, but he was like prosthetically going back and forth in time in any given day on Patrick Melrose, like within decades. And so I'd see him in the trailer getting reset to the 80s or then being, you know, pushed forward in time to when he was older. And it was amazing to watch him just adjust on the fly. He's just so good.
Let's get an update on the TV pop culture consumption right now.
Okay.
Are we in Bachelor season? I don't know.
No, we're not. We're between seasons.
Okay, so you have time in your life to watch other things.
Well, yes. I mean, I do. I do on occasion.
Anything?
I make, I've been watching Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I have a heartbeat, but it is.
I only caught up. I had never watched it until months ago, and I did it. Now I'm with the rest of the world.
Are you going to re-release all of your interviews with those cast members now? With your
Nikolai, with I need you back.
Exactly. Or you just make a postscript at the end of each one, and you're like, I asked this question because it was written down, but I didn't understand what I was asking about.
That's generally all my questions.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and my big struggle is I'm going to be in England for the finale. So I fucked myself over because now I need to figure out how to actually watch it live there. And I'm not smart enough to do that. So if you can help me.
And there's literally no one who could help you.
Well, I asked the internet today, of course, and they sent me a lot of suggestions.
Yeah, that's good.
But I'm still not smart enough to figure it out, probably.
I have faith in you. And I do, actually. And I know that sounds really surprised, but I do. And I'm going to be away for this Sunday episode. And so I'm also very nervous. Like, how do I...
It's
going
to be okay for both of us, right?
I don't know.
Are you into K-pop?
Excuse me? Is that just a... I mean, not in any sort of way that would be worth talking about.
I'm just fishing. I'm just seeing. I'm just trying to gauge where you're at right now.
Were you trying to gauge by guessing the least likely thing for me to be into?
That unlikely.
Well, true. Most of the world is into it. I'm in the minority. Yes.
Okay.
But I have not done the deep dive into K-pop. Okay. Perhaps by the time I come back.
I was going to say, next time you're going to feel like a moron because you're like,
Well, of course I know what it is, but I don't have like a favorite band or singer or anything.
Have you seen Hadestown?
Excuse me?
Hadestown?
No.
Musicals?
No, I'm behind on everything. Out of the country. Oh, that's right. I haven't seen anything.
Okay. You need to see that.
I need to see so many things. It's very stressful on Broadway right now because there's a lot of good stuff. And then all the stuff that I missed while I was gone that I'm going to need to go to like Lincoln Center and watch in the archives.
Thoughts on Aladdin?
Very excited. Cried yesterday watching the trailer, which I had already seen multiple times. But it was in 3D this time. And the music just makes me... nostalgic. Right. I'm an Alan Menken fanatic.
Your friends. You email
any of the chords that he has put together make me emotional immediately.
And you're okay with the Lion King?
Okay with it.
Well, some people are like, why bother doing it again? Because it looks like a shot for shot remake.
Well, I don't know. Because as filmmaking progresses and as we are able to do different things, like why not see what we can do? Yeah. I thought Jungle Book was kind of astonishing to watch.
It was
so beautiful. So I'm very excited to be able to see that. And Raja, like in theaters, the tiger from Aladdin, I'm very excited.
We need to get you in like a weird mocap suit playing like a tiger in a movie. This is inevitable.
I mean, I think that's my destiny next. I think probably. I think you nailed it. Yeah, mocap. Perfect.
Are you excited for the Moulin Rouge musical?
Yes, very.
I've heard really good things.
I have too. And it's so much fun, and it's still a soundtrack I listen to constantly.
Yeah.
And I was at an age where I thought a lot of those songs were original for, like the medley that they sing, thought they wrote, and then it turns out, no. The Elephant Love medley, is that what it's called?
Yeah. It's my wife's like, favorite movie, so I have
really?
To
Is she excited? Does she approve?
She saw it in Boston,
and
loved it, and we're going to be seeing it multiple times.
I cannot wait to see it. Yeah. How could it, it is meant for it. I sort of am surprised it hasn't made the trip to Broadway until now.
This is true.
This is so fun. You're just catching me up on all pop culture. It's great. I immediately
any
from
K-pop
JFK,
questions you
I should
have
come to this office to get the update on what I'd missed while I had been filming.
You should get your early tickets for Hugh Jackman doing Music Man next year.
Okay, good to know. I didn't know that was happening either.
Know?
No, I'm behind on everything. I don't think you understand. I follow
I'm starting to get it.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. It's unexpected. Yeah. Ask me anything about the news and I can fill you in, but I'm very behind on it. I know, exactly. So that's where I live these days.
We don't want
Maybe that explains my movie choices.
Have you read Ranul's book?
Not yet. It's on my Kindle. I'm so excited.
I got to know Andrew.
Isn't he amazing?
Oh my God.
He's truly the best. I was just talking about, our sex scene experience with someone. Cause we were talking about comparing sex scenes through time. And I was like, by far the most relaxed one I've ever done was with Ranul's because we just were friends and it was so relaxed the whole time. And you wear such weird stuff doing sex scenes that we went into each other's dressing rooms before it started and unveiled it to each other. So we could just stare and laugh together. And then when the clothes came off in the moment, it was totally funny. And in fact, it was hard to find footage where we weren't laughing.
Yeah.
So I guess in that way, an unsuccessful sex scene, but we got what we needed.
Right. So what are you, so where are we at right now in terms of what are you looking for? Are you just open to everything and anything?
To everything.
Yeah.
Open to everything. I'll read whatever comes in. Any medium, I'm not sure what I want to do next.
Yeah. Meaning TV, film,
stage,
radio plays.
Yeah, listen, I do a radio play. I mean,
I think they're called podcasts now. I don't know why I called it a radio play. Like I'm 97 years old.
Yes, exactly. That is so funny. As we said earlier, I was bragging about how young I am, but you guys can't imagine how
on
cruel
next,
that was.
On the next radio play of Happy Second Confused.
Yeah, exactly. You should start calling it a radio play. I mean, it just depends on what it is and how it hits me when I read it. And at this point, everyone understands that it's an unpredictable thing.
Yes.
And the people in my life, the people who I work with have stopped trying to anticipate what my next move was going to be.
Have the parents seen The Perfection yet?
Yes. I showed it to them this weekend.
How was that?
Really fun.
Yeah.
And really, it's funny because we didn't grow up as a family watching these movies.
Right.
It's not a genre I watched. It's not a genre my brother watches or my parents. And so
let's all watch Old Boy together.
Exactly.
It's not a family movie.
Exactly. Or even Get Out was like the first time my mom had seen anything in the thriller category because they make her too nervous since like, you know, the '90s or something. So it's really funny introducing people to a genre and to a movie that their daughter is in that is alarming in many ways.
Thank you for disturbing us yet again with the perfection.
Well, you're so welcome.
It's a quality piece of work.
Thank you.
Good luck on catching up on pop culture.
I'm so excited. There's so much for me to catch up on.
If you have any BTS questions.
Okay. That's a K-pop group, I assume, just based on context clues.
I'm the K-pop expert. I work at MTV, so it just tangentially, it
is the world. We are like a tiny chunk of people who, or at least I am part of a small group of people who don't follow K-pop closely. No, and then the rest of the world follows it.
I guess so.
Proportionally, I think. We're in the minority.
I think so.
But you know more than I do. By the way, I love BTS. I'm just kidding. How is that? Was that convincing?
Very convincing.
Okay, good.
So wait, back to work now? Wait, you said you're in production now? Or no, you wrapped?
I just wrapped. Okay. I just got back to the country.
Okay. Enjoy the rest of your summer.
Thank you so much.
Enjoy all that pop culture has to offer.
I can't wait. I'm so excited to catch up on it all. It's going to be great. Randall's, I'm going to read your book.
And enjoy your bizarre... If you see her in a theater... Don't approach her. Just let her do her thing.
Just let the process take its course.
She'll be quote unquote chill in a second. She just needs her 6 trips to the bathroom to flush it all out.
Exactly.
She needs to buy all her shit.
Exactly. Now you know. You are ready to go to a movie with me now.
From a distance.
Yeah. Okay. So if there's a guy in like that mustache with like the nose and the glasses sitting in the back with that fedora on, I will know that it's
trench coat. Wait, this is a weird scene we're setting. Yeah.
You'll get kicked out of the movie. You'll get kicked out for other reasons, but I will know that it was you and you were there to see me see a movie.
And I'll see you at the movies, Allison.
Exactly.
And so ends another edition of Happy, Sad, Confused. Remember to review, rate, and subscribe to this show on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. I'm a big podcast person. I'm Daisy Ridley, and I definitely wasn't pressured to do this by Josh.